Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Okay, everybody, welcome to the latest episode of All Too Real 2. My name is Michael E. Cullen II, and with me, as always, is...
is Matthew, Mailman, us.
Okay. How much did it cost to change your name to that this week?
Well, I actually got a job as a mailman, so they're paying me now to be able to. Since nobody donates to our page or to our podcast, you know, despite the fact that we do this for free, sometimes thrice weekly for 4 years, nobody cares. I get it; it's fine. You want to spend money on other stuff, and you want free shit. We get it; it's all, it's cool. So you know that's how I pay for my name changes now. Is, you know. Like, we have, like, a standing order where basically they don't actually pay me. I just get to change my name through working for them, right? So that's how it works out now.
Is there anybody at your post office that's, like, a mysterious, like, beautiful woman who is writing letters to Santa? To kids in response to Santa letters.
Several, yes. There's quite a many.
There's many of them?
Oh, as many of them. Yeah, totally.
Okay. And are they all in love with you?
I think I'm in love with them, but not they, not me. I'm not one on delusions. So, I don't think so.
How many sassy black women work there?
There's like maybe two. But you probably shouldn't call them sassy. You think that's probably not a good idea. I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, don't call them to their face that, you know. Yeah.
What? Not even to their face. I just wouldn't even.
In general, yeah.
Better not even think because that word, like, that reminds me of the episode of Community where the dean was filming, like, commercial for Greendale.
Yeah.
He's like, what's a word for, like, was it like mildly threatening, but like also really nice? And then he's like, Shirley's like, the word he's looking for is sassy. He better not find it. It's like, whoa.
Well, yeah. Maybe I should say, are there any stereotypical? No, I'm joking.
No, because the whole thing's a joke. I don't work at the post office.
So. Oh, you don't? Damn it. You had me going there for a minute, Matt.
Yeah, well, I guess I do that. I fool, no.
Maybe you got a job at the post office.
Well, it's interesting because the character's name in this movie is Uncle Matt.
Yeah.
And my name is Matt. And I have a niece. Well, I have two nieces. So technically, but unfortunately, my niece isn't trying to set me up with multiple romantic and or sexual partners, which is... that's kind of weird. We'll get into that. But, bizarre movie.
And for better or worse, though, the other thing, too, is that your brother and his and the mother of the children are still alive, so.
Well, yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's part's going on.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I'm not saying this movie's like a biography of me or anything.
Oh, okay. But, like, I was thinking it might be.
No. What the other thing too? So like, he's like a former musician, and it's like, this was this movie like written for me, and like some weird multiverse version of me where like part of my life is the same, but then like other things change, you know, throughout it or whatever, you know. I don't know, but
which does bring us to the topic of today's episode. We are covering the 2010 Ion Television Christmas film, Christmas Mail.
Yeah.
Yep.
Very original title.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Did you get it?
Direct
mailman?
Oh, it was directed by John.
Yeah.
John Merlowski. Written by Loreen Lacey and Steven Peterson. Yes. It's 129 minutes of pure joy.
No, 129 minutes. That's over 2 hours. Was it 2 hours?
No, 129 minutes. I mean, an hour and 29 minutes. I'm sorry, not 129. Oh, yeah, forgive me there, folks. I misspoke.
I missed the last hour of the movie.
Yeah, it got real dark, Matt, in that last hour.
Yeah. I'm wondering, like, what the hell happened? I mean, I had some ideas of what could have happened to certain characters in the movie, but, you know, we could talk about that later. But
so, speaking of this, what does happen in this movie, Matt?
What happens in this movie is it's very similar to Spy High, where whoever is mixing the audio thinks it's a really good idea to make the music way louder than dialogue at parts of the movie for some unexplained reason. So
yes.
That's going on. And this guy named Matt, he's a mail carrier, and it's Christmas time in like California. And, you know, he's got all this extra mail because of, like, you know, people sending pack, you know, Christmas packages and letters to Santa Claus and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, he doesn't really like his job that much, but, you know, he kind of puts on a smile and a happy face. And he ends up running into this woman who's dropping off some packages. And then a very awkward scene. She puts a letter in his teeth to bite on because his hands weren't.
Well, he dropped the letter and a dog got a hold of it.
Oh, okay.
Her dog. Okay. So, yeah, it wasn't that she was sending the letter. It was a letter that he had dropped.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That was weird. And, again, this is for a family, Faith and Family Channel type movie that's. So, I'm gonna chalk up that they don't really know what they were writing necessarily, or how creepy a lot of the stuff was, because their minds just aren't like that. But like, so it's unintentional. But like, it's just weird to have some random stranger just put a piece of mail in your mouth.
Well, I mean, like, it was originally for Ion Television, which may or may not be Christian based. I'm not sure. I don't think it is, but it might have been at one time. So who knows? But it is on. It is available right now, which we did a 14-day free trial of Up, Faith and Family. So if you do want to watch it, get yourself a. Before we go into any further, if you want to stop this podcast, pause it and come back and join us. You can go to Up, Faith and Family and watch this movie, but you have to get a 14-day free trial.
I mean, that's what you got to do, right? So, so we have the meet cute or cute me, however you say it. And, he goes back to work. There's a scene where he's calling his niece for dinner, but then he says, and she says, "Oh, you make Mischetti." He's like, "No, it's spaghetti." Mind you, she's like 7 years old at this point, so she really shouldn't be messing up words like spaghetti. But anyway, so, but it was intentional. It wasn't a mistake. And he's like, "It's spaghetti." And she's like, "No, it's Mischetti because I miss you and I miss spaghetti. It's Mischetti. Get it?" And then he's like, "All right, dinner's gonna be ready in 5 minutes. Go wash your hands." And he goes, "Bye." I'm like, "Wait, you called her in for dinner, says dinner's ready, and then you say dinner's going to be ready in 5 minutes. Go wash your hands, and then you say goodbye. What? Like, you just say bye to someone you're gonna see like in 30 seconds? Like,
I will mention though that the Mischetti joke is the funniest joke in this whole movie."
Oh, it is. It's unfortunately that's. I mean, it's just all downhill. So he goes into work, bored and dejected and shit, and he gets called in by his manager called Mr. Fuller. He's like basically runs that building, and he's like, you know, Mr. Like, everything's gotta be up to code and. This is a safety hazard. You can't have, you know, Christmas trees and Santa hats and, you know, all that kind of junk. You know, like the whole Grinch kind of character.
Yeah, he's played by Lachlan Monroe, who plays a lot of assholes in movies, basically.
He was oblivious. Like, he was in that movie, what was it called? Where, like, this guy basically becomes, like, a weed dealer. Like, he goes into Canada. He's like a teenager, whatever. It was interesting. He basically plays like a rich asshole in that movie. Who like
yeah, he was also in Benchwarmers 2, a movie that we've covered for this podcast. Yes,
that's right. He was one of the bad guys in that movie too,
yeah.
Wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah, that reminds me. So he, I'm putting on my fake psychologist hat here because I don't have a degree at all, but I'm just going to decide to diagnose them. So Mr. Fuller exhibits signs of multiple paranoid delusions on several occasions, such as his conspiracy theory that the new hire, Christy Nord, was sent by a higher-up to sabotage his work in order to take away his pending promotion. He is also irritable, jumpy, and full of jittery energy, which suggests that he may be going through a likely undiagnosed hypomanic episode. It would be best for him to seek psychological counseling as well as an appointment with a psychiatrist while his mental state is still manageable. But we'll see how that goes. So I skipped ahead though. So Christy North, the cute meat or the meat cute, whatever, she actually is working at the post office now as like a special job there, I guess. Like she got sent by the postmaster general.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Which is would never happen ever. But and then she's on a special. You could talk now because I'm losing my train.
Yeah, it's a special assignment, and Christy North is played by Ashley Scott, who people may know from the TV show Birds of Prey, where she played Helena Kyle, and she was also in the TV show. What was the name of that show? Anyway, she's in a lot of things, but Yeah, but I know her most from Birds of Prey. And she really plays up this whole mythical creature type of thing of her performance.
I know.
She plays her character like she's a child almost the whole time.
Yeah.
I mean, the movie's kind of like Elf in a way, but...
Well, that's the thing. When she said at one point, she said she had multiple brothers and sisters, and then this is later in the movie. And then Matt's like, "Well, how many siblings do you have?" And she like has like this weird look on her face. So I'm sitting there thinking maybe she's thinking of elves as like her, because you know there's lots of elves in the North Pole, right? So I'm like, "Well, is she like an elf? Like, what's going? You know, like, yeah."
Or what I'm trying to wonder is, so are we implying that all the elves are Mr. and Mrs. Claus's kids?
I know, which, what would that imply? That they're being exploited for their labor?
Yeah.
You know?
And it also means that Mr. and Mrs. Claus fuck a lot. And,
Well, of course they do, because they're happy because they're rich, because they're making money off their children's free labor. They don't get paid. No wonder why they're so rich. Think about it. You got a whole factory of people. Don't have to pay any of them.
Yeah, but but Santa gives away the presents. He doesn't get paid.
Well, I have a theory about that. Okay, this is a sidebar here. I have a theory about that. So Santa Claus is the ultimate capitalist, right? So because he has a workforce that doesn't get paid anything whatsoever, just free labor, but they like it. They think it's great because they've been brainwashed. So in 1984, where they have the big screen that brainwashes people every day, where they're like,
yeah,
you
big brother.
Are content. You love your life. So they have those sent out, but it's more of a brainwave thing. So it's they're just getting sent electrodes and like very subliminal messages, when they go to sleep. Actually, it's more like Brave New World. That's what they do in Brave. So I'm changing movies. So in Brave New World, they actually go to sleep with these little messages saying you are born to do whatever function they choose for you. So some people were actually bred to be smarter. So they're the bureaucracy class, and other people's brains were meant to be more like they literally bred people to have certain functions in life. So they literally made people less intelligent on purpose. Really fucked up story. And which they might actually probably end up doing in the future. Who knows? But so that's what they're doing with the elves, right? They're you love working for Santa Claus. You love working for mother and father. You love producing goods for mother and father for no pay whatsoever. And so then they wake up and they're like, oh, it's time to go back to work. And they're like, yay, I love working for free. I love sweating through my days. I love having no paid lunch, or not just no paid lunch breaks, no paid breaks, no pay anything. And then, so Santa, when he gives out, quote, the free presents, but it's kind of along the lines when you order something online and it says, you only have to pay for, quote, shipping and handling. But it's the shipping and handling is really part of the price, so they're actually making money off it. So Santa's, quote, free presents, he's actually getting money off it. Guaranteed.
Alrighty then.
And that's why, hold on, and that's why, that's why in communist countries, a lot of them, they understood that Santa Claus is American imperialist capitalist propaganda, so they had to invent their own version of Santa Claus because they're like, fuck this guy. So East Germany had a character, I forgot his name, but he was like the East German communist version of Santa Claus, and he was he would give people presents and stuff like that, but he'd also like preach message, basically be propaganda for the state. So it'd be oh, equality's great, collectivism's awesome, but here's where it gets fucked up. So this guy used to travel around the world like Santa Claus, but he would kind of focus more on other socialist countries because that was their brothers and sisters, but he would also go to other countries like America. But then when people were wanting to leave East Germany to go live elsewhere because the economy wasn't so great and people were being forced, in jobs they didn't kind of like the elves are in North Pole. And, so they're like, wait a minute, we got to change the thing because this guy he's leaving East Germany to go to other countries. So we don't want people to leave the country. So now the new cartoons, he never leaves East Germany anymore. He stays in East Germany because they didn't want to give the people the idea. Well, hey, if our communist Santa Claus gets to leave and visit all other parts of the world, how come we can't too? So they're thinking smart. Anyway, so
okay.
What did I say?
So anyways,
I think I'm the one that needs to see a psychiatrist.
Possibly, but don't we all? Don't we all?
Well, no, not really. No. No. Objectively, no.
So anyways, so What happens next in this movie? He's basically okay. So he's given a promotion at work, where he's supposed to spy on Christy North. Yep, that's her name.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And so he's given this promotion, and basically he's got to try to figure out what she's doing there. And this guy, thinks that the Lachlan Monroe's character, Richard Fuller, thinks that his job is in jeopardy and that this woman is there to basically take him down. Because, you know, that's the vibe I totally get from her when I see her.
Yeah, she's the nicest woman
I know you've
ever meet in your life. You know, almost like sickly sweet. You know?
Yeah.
And that thing, too, she's like a pixie dream girl kind of character.
Yeah. Well, she's basically basically the female version of Will Ferrell's elf, I think, in a lot of ways.
She's not as stupid as he is, though.
No, but she's very
sweet
and innocent like he is.
Like, she's like the kind of woman that, like, you would be crazy not to fall in love with, basically. Like, you just have to be a terrible person to not love her. Because, like, she is just, like, the sense of, like, or, like, just the essence of purity and light, basically. So, of course, this guy hates her because he's a terrible person who doesn't even allow his, you know, employees to hang a Christmas wreath in the office, not anywhere, not even where there's any machines that would even, like, swallow it up and cause a problem.
Yeah, he gets mad. He gets mad at the character of Sally Covington, played by former talk show host Rolanda Watts. And,
I had no idea she was a talk show.
Yeah, she was.
Interesting. I did not get that vibe from her, but okay. I mean,
she used to have like a, I'm pretty sure she used to have like one of these, like daytime Oprah Winfrey sort of talk shows or Sally Jesse Raphael sort of talk shows.
I remember Sally. Wow,
yeah.
That's long
but something like that. She was back in the like 90s or early 2000s or something. Yeah.
Ricky Lake. Yeah, that was another one. Ricky Lake.
One of those type of things. I'm pretty sure she had like the Rolanda Watts show. Okay. I could be completely wrong, but I'm remembering that.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. But she's the magical black character in this movie.
Unfortunately. Why'd they gotta do shit like that? Really?
Yeah.
Why? I don't get it, but okay.
Yeah, she did have a. She had her own syndicated talk show, which aired from 94 to 97.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. So, anyways, she is at one point wearing a Santa Claus hat, and Fuller gets pissed at her and says, you know, that could get caught in the machines. So you gotta stop wearing it, you know. Yeah.
I mean, technically it could, but she'd have to be like right next to it.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Like, let's have some Christmas spirit here. Let's not, you know.
You know what I find really funny?
What?
About this movie. Okay. They're using actual logos of the U.S. You know, the USPS.
Yeah.
And for that to happen, the United States Postal Service has to give permission for them to use this.
So they did? Wow.
So they gave permission for them to use this in this movie.
Holy shit.
And
that's fucked up.
Yeah. Because that really makes the post office look really fucked up.
It does. I mean, there's already, you know, like, I mean, I know people who worked at the post office.
Yeah.
People like management, like this Mr. Fuller guy, and he said the same thing that, you know, a lot of the people underneath them kind of look to him the way that the employees look at Mr. Fuller. So maybe that job position itself like forces people to act that way, and then the people resent them.
But you wouldn't think that that the post office would approve the character of Fuller in a movie about the post office.
Maybe one person was in charge of approving it, and they just like, yeah, go ahead, do what you want with our logo, fine. So he picks Matt, spy and gather information on Christy. And you know what? You know what he said? He said, because I see me in you. How? Despite the fact that, which again is probably another delusion as part of his personality, because Matt's personality or physical appearance doesn't resemble him in the slightest. There's no point anywhere in the movie where Matt acts like, looks like, or even moves, as in walks, like Mr. Fuller. Yet we are supposed to believe that the two are thick as thieves because the reasons that Mr. Fuller gives. Did he used to be like Matt before? Like, okay, well, you became an asshole, I guess, because Matt's not an asshole in this movie. So how do you see yourself in him? He could have picked anyone else in this movie. I mean, it would make no difference. He could have picked Sally and said, I want you to spy on, you know, this new hire for me or whatever. Such a bizarre character.
I know. And by the way, Matt Sanders is the character, and he's played by AJ Buckley. That's the character, the actor's name, just letting you know. Anyway, so we have
let me say Matt character is AJ Buckley. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, AJ Buckley is currently on the TV show Navy SEALs. So, yeah. Okay. Anyway, so
well, he's moved up, so.
Yeah. So we have the situation where when he says he sees him in him and he makes him spy on Christy. So, and he gives him a clip-on tie.
Yeah.
You know, anytime I've seen somebody promoted at any of my jobs, they're always given a clip-on tie.
Yep.
Rite of passage for every job in this country.
Middle management. Here's your clip-on tie. Well, that's the other thing. Christy points that out the second time they meet.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, that explains the clip-on tie. And he's like, oh, yeah, Matt always does this weird little laugh like, throughout the whole movie.
Yeah.
Like, every fucking dozens of times. It pisses me off so much. Like, it's like, come on, guys. Like, you know, like, Jesus Christ. Can you, like, edit some of that shit out? Oh, can I mention one more thing really quick? I know I'm, like, really manic right now.
Oh, no,
that's
fine.
I need to calm down a little bit. This movie broke my brain, that's why. So a 7 or 8-year-old niece, I'm not sure, right? Just by looking at her, she seems like she might be that old. She's trying. So this whole thing got set up is because she wrote a letter to Santa Claus, and Christy North is the one that's writing letters back to these people. So she wants her uncle to, like, meet. Okay, her words were she wants her uncle to meet someone who will kiss him and stuff, which, that's okay. Innocent enough, I think, but I'm like, okay, a 7-year-old's asking for someone to kiss her uncle
and stuff.
Okay, it's, again, back burner. Okay. But then, if it just ended there, it would be fine. But I think this child is maybe trying to grow up a little too fast, and that's a problem. We'll get into that. Because then she gets a rejection letter from Santa Claus, essentially. well, how else do you describe it? It's what it is.
Well, basically, it's Santa saying, hey, you know, you might have to make your own magic here, kid. I
mean, what it is? Rejection letter. It's like Dumbledore when he dismisses Petunia. He's like, you can't come to Hogwarts, bitch, because you don't. No, you didn't say that. But, you know, because you don't have any magical abilities.
Yeah.
So, bye. You know, didn't say that. But so, yeah, he's like, no, Santa Claus isn't like a matchmaker. Sorry, can't do it. So then, you know, she's not going to be just outdone by Santa Claus. Fuck that guy, right? So she's like, all right, I'm just going to set him up with my elderly neighbor woman and set up and have her cook a bunch of food and bring it over. Then I'm going to go leave into my bedroom and put on some, like, weird romantic jazz music on, like, some toy radio. And, like, the woman's, like twirling her hair and shit. And I'm like, oh, my God, they're going to bang. My headcanon is that he totally banged her. That's just my opinion. But I'm pretty sure that they banged. And then cause later on.
The old lady on, that lives next door.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he banged her. Because she was ready for it. I mean, don't get me wrong. They're adults, okay? Adults play with each other. It's fine. It's human. Get over it, you know? It's natural. This is what the world is made up of. This is how the world was. This is how procreation happens.
I mean, she's beyond a cougar. She's like a.
She's not a cougar. She's the type of lion that they send out into the woods and die alone because it can no longer, you know. Well, now it's really dark, but you know what I mean. That's what the lions do. It's fucked up. The lions do this shit. I didn't make it up. It's what the lions do. I didn't create nature here. It's God, whatever fucked up plant he had. And then, so he banged the old lady. And then, after eating, like, scalloped potatoes or mac and cheese or whatever she made, and then she had a bunch of shit she bought over. But, you know, she's an old lady, knows how to cook, blah, blah, blah. So, because he comes back, he's got this weird smirk on his face. He's like, hey, don't you think that maybe she was a little too old for me? But he's, like, thinking, like, I totally banged her, though. You know, so, whatever. So she basically becomes her uncle's pimp by accident, which is weird. And then, it's so weird, but it's what happened. She doesn't know what she's doing. It's fine. This is all...
Her uncle's pimp is my new band name.
Michael's pimp. They're going to open up for, what was it, the Bullet Blondes and...
Gator Smoke.
Gator Smoke, yeah. So, but it's not the first time she pimps him out. So the next time, she invites four women. Oh, wow. So the one's not enough anymore. Now she's got to invite four single-parent women into the house.
Oh, no, that was at somebody else's house.
Oh, that was someone else? Okay,
yeah, she invited him over there. It was weird.
Oh, I got
it. Yeah, it was like a single-parents meeting of some sort, but all of the parents were women except for him.
And they all were just like... looking at him like he was a piece of candy the whole time. Like, one of them literally even said, when's the last time you had sexual intercourse? Like, holy shit. Yeah. And then, like, they're all just, like, eyeballing him. I'm like, dude, he's gonna bang all four of these women. He doesn't. He doesn't do shit. It's like, dude, your niece is pimping you out here. Like, you know, and, like, you know, she's got some weird magic here who's able to... Who the fuck knows who wrote this? Why they... Anyway, so he just decides, nah... You know, sorry for, you know, single women who, you know, are also just as sexually frustrated as I am. And we could probably, you know, use each other's bodies as, you know, warmth and have that, you know, human connection that we all need and crave in this life. No, I'm just going to look the gift horse in the eye and say, no, thank you. Okay, well, Merry Christmas to you. Fuck you, Matt. Anyway, So he just leaves a possible fivesome out of, you know, like, who has the opportunity in life? Almost no one. But it's Matt. Who cares, right? He'd rather deliver his mail and, you know, talk to his boss. So,
or maybe he just has morals.
Fuck morals. There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing morally wrong with it. They're all single. No one's cheating on each other. It's not like anyone's heart's going to get broken here. It's fine. Whatever. But Mr. Matt here, you know, from the post office, you know, suddenly becomes a Catholic priest. So, okay.
But this was already after he met Christy and kind of had feelings for her, so.
Don't care. Moving on. So what else happens?
So, anyways. That happened at one point. So basically, like, you know, Emily's trying to pimp him out, and played by Piper Harris, that's his niece, that he was left because her parents died. So, anywho, do you want to take a quick break here, Matt, and then we'll come back and talk about the rest of this?
Sure.
My brain hurts. We'll be right back, folks.
What is Gen X? What is the silent generation? What do generations have in common? Hi, I'm Trish the Dish from the Gen X Voice podcast, and I invite you to listen to conversations I have with folks from different generations, backgrounds, beliefs, and experiences in an attempt to see what connects rather than divides us. Even though Gen X has been called slackers, Karens, or not mentioned at all in some cases, we are the bridge generation, so I feel compelled to do my part to destroy ageism by bringing all these voices together. And as a bonus, each guest gets to answer some 80s questions at the end of each show. So download and listen to Gen X Voice today on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And let's see how much we have in common after all.
Hi, this is Catherine, host of a new fashion podcast, The Real Fashion School Dropout. Join me as I interview guests every week in the fashion and beauty space, and we gossip on all things fashion and beauty and even get into some personal stories of their journey in the industry. You can find us on Apple, Spotify, pretty much wherever you get your podcast. Hope to see you there.
And we are back. Okay, so Matt went off and tried to bang an old lady, and wait, no, you didn't.
No.
During the break. No, I'm joking.
Okay, just one more thought about it. So, like, she was one of the old ladies where, you know, like, when she was younger, she was, like, really, really attractive. Just saying, it's obvious. It's true. You know.
Yeah.
Certain things allow to be true. Just let it be true. Let's move on. No.
So, anyways, we've got Matt still spying on Christy. At one point, he invites her to lunch. He thinks. Calls her up, invites her to lunch. After she had one point he had tried to invite her to coffee, and she doesn't like coffee.
Nope.
She, like, freaked out, like, yeah, cool. Yeah. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, that's a weird reaction.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, if somebody invites me to coffee and I'm not a big fan of coffee, I'll be like, yeah, I'm just not really into coffee. I'm not like, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, what the hell?
Yeah. They have cocoa at one point, and she has her own special, like, homemade cocoa. You know, the kind that's made when you grind down elves that are your brothers and sisters, and then you make, oh, wait.
Yeah. That's why it tastes so good. It's like magic.
Yes. Magic. That's why she was sent on this special assignment by her dad.
She's probably like 3,000 years old, and this is how she, like, maintains her youthful,
yeah,
you know, visage, or whatever,
yeah,
however you put it. But.
By eating, by drinking elves. Anyway, so, yeah. What the fuck?
Wow.
So anyways, we find out, you know, at one point that Matt gave up his life to be in a band. I mean, from being in a band to raise his niece. You know, so he was like, he was gonna be the next big rock star, you know, in some shitty band. And,
exactly.
So, anyways, oh yeah, I know I'm jumping all over the place here, but at one, because I can't remember the order that shit happened in this movie.
Me too.
So, at one point, they go on a picnic date at work, because he calls her up and says, I want to have lunch with you. And then when Fuller calls him in the office, he's like, you know, I need you to spy on her more, blah, 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 and find out what's going on. And he's like, well, I think we have lunch today.
I know.
What a
fucking moron.
Anyways, he's like, let's have a picnic. An indoor picnic. And some guy delivers Chinese food to them. And then somehow he decides, because his his niece calls him after, this was after he called up some woman that I'm not sure what the fuck their relationship is.
Yeah, exactly.
Named Heather, played by Heather is played by Vanessa Evigan, who has been in some other things and stuff, and she is the daughter of Greg Evigan, who people may know from My Two Dads. Anyways, he was one of the dads, the one that wasn't Paul Reiser. And
the one that
so he calls up Heather and, you know, basically tries to get her to, you know, come and spend some time before the holidays so she can, you know, basically set Emily straight in her pimping ways. And
yeah, exactly. Well, that's the other thing too, because she was asking all these questions about boys, and she's like, "When do I start kissing? Should I do it now or wait till the fourth grade?" I'm like, "Jesus Christ, Emily, slow down!" Like, it's like, I know that you want your uncle to have people kissing him for whatever weird reason, but you need to chill out. Like, you kid, it's fine.
See, I blame Matt in the long run. He let her watch something she shouldn't have seen. That's not my thing.
Maybe he fell asleep or something like that, and Cinemax was on. Yeah, something happened, yeah. You know. Don't know what.
Yeah.
But, you know, leave it at that, you know, because it's getting weird. Like, just chill out. It's fine. Like, yeah, Heather will talk it out with you. You know, or we're going to have to make some calls. It's like, yeah. I'll just...
Yeah, and he calls Heather, and, like, before she answers the phone, her and the band are doing these vocal warm-ups of some sort that are the worst ones I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a touring rock band. Where?
Yeah, and...
Do they bowling alleys? Like...
And whoever does warm-ups like that, I'm sorry, but,
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And all the guys in the band look like complete idiots.
Yeah.
No offense to the actors playing them. It's just the way that they were portrayed in the movie. So yeah. The quote unquote actors, I should say. And, yeah. And so she's kind of this new agey weird chick, who in all honesty, Matt has better chemistry with than Christy. And,
exactly.
Which makes me wonder, it's like, is she like a sister figure to him? Did they used to bang? What's going on here?
Her body language is very confusing.
Yes.
It's like, did they used to be a couple? Like, what's going on here? Like,
see, my theory, and this is probably completely wrong, Vanessa Evigan auditioned for the role of Christy and didn't get cast. And so they gave her this other role as a consolation. this is all my own theory.
Okay, it makes sense.
And so now she's like, yeah, I'm going to try to, you know, up the sex quota here, you know. So.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, screw you, Christy. You know. Now he's got 7 women after him. This guy's, you know, bottled lightning 7 times, and he doesn't appreciate shit. I hate this guy. He's a piece of shit.
And I mean, it's not like he looks like Brad Pitt or something. He's just freaking, you know.
What I was thinking was he's a bargain brand, like Glenn Hansard or something like that. You know, like
from Once.
Yeah, that's what he looks like to me. Like, not really, but like a bargain brand version of him. Like, I'm just thinking. I don't have a picture in front of me, but in my mind,
yeah,
That phrase came to me was bargain brand Glenn Hansard.
So yes.
Do what you will with it, but...
That's the name of my other band. But, and in that band, we do vocal warm-ups that are exactly like the ones in this movie.
Yeah, well, what were they doing? What was that? Hello! Yeah, I've ever seen, like you guys are a touring rock band? Like, where do you play at? Like tiny little festivals or fairs with, like, 10 people... eating corn dogs and slopping chili sauce on their shirts. Like, what the hell, man?
They're playing Madison Square Garden every night. No, I'm sorry. Oh, no.
They act like, oh, Matt gave up his glorious music career. I'm like, really? I think he leveled up, to be honest. I mean, if that's what happened.
Yeah, he's probably making more money and having a better life working as a postal worker than...
Yeah, but this shitty band. Oh, God.
It's not like the band is the Postal Service.
You get it? The Postal Service? Yeah, that's a good one.
I'm so unfunny. Anyway, so the...
Wow, I haven't listened to them in like 15 years.
I know.
Wow.
They were last popular about the time this movie came out. And
even then, probably 5 years
too
late. Or what, they had that one song that like was about like something about apartments, like in your apartment complex or like whatever, something to do with like
They had a lot of good songs.
It was a decent album. It was okay.
Yeah.
It was better than Death Cab for Cutie, anything they did. So,
well, I don't know. I like the one album of Death Cab for Cutie like a lot.
Hate them. No. I like some of theirs. I like the song about something about heaven and hell or something like that. Yeah, that's a good song.
Yeah, Into the Dark or whatever it is.
That's it.
So anyways, back to this movie. So Heather comes to town and is, at one point I'm sitting on the couch and basically, I don't know, giving Matt these eyes like he wants to, like she wants to fuck him. But,
Jesus Christ, seriously.
Yeah.
And I'm not really great at reading signs like that.
Yeah.
It's just how I am. Because I found out later in life that there were people who liked me that I didn't know liked me at the time because I couldn't read the signs. So even I could see that.
I mean, Stevie Wonder could see that. Anyway, so he decides. They're having this indoor picnic, Christy and Matt. And so Heather and Emily call and, it's like, hey, and then he decides that, oh, we're going to join them all, together at the park or whatever. So we're going to pack up this food that we just got and head to the park, which will take a while to drive to. And by then, this food's going to be cold and probably not taste good. Because Chinese food doesn't taste good that long after you get it.
No, not really. I mean, if you refrigerate it, sure.
But yeah, you got to heat it up sometimes and stuff. But I'm just saying.
Matt doesn't think anything through, like I said, because he already had the chance to have sex with five women. And he just decided, fuck it. So he's not someone who really thinks very clearly about things. So
he's not a thinker, this guy. Anyway, Heather and Emily end up at the park first. Emily sees Christy there. Christy ends up first. I don't know why.
Yeah, what happened with there? They didn't ride together?
To figure out. Why didn't they ride together? Why did it take Matt longer to get there when they were coming from the same fucking place? Maybe he was spending that time to pack up the Chinese food. I don't know. But,
they were still in the same room together, so
yeah.
He would have picked up. So what? She just would have just left the office while he's packing up Chinese. That makes no sense. My theory is because she's, spoiler alert, not like it matters. The movie is 12 years old, but she's Santa Claus' daughter, so maybe she's got Christmas magic and was able to just appear at will, whatever on the bench. So,
and while she's there, she calls a bird over to her, and the bird lands and talks to her, and she talks to the bird, and it's like Snow White all of a sudden, and I don't know.
Emily finds her.
Yeah, Emily finds her.
Runs over to her.
Then what happens?
Oh, then they have a really weird, awkward exchange. Where, they don't even, introduce each other's names to each other, even though they're having a full-fledged conversation, which normally you say, hi, I'm so-and-so, and whatever. Anyway, nothing in this movie is the right order of things, so okay.
And you say goodbye to your niece in your own apartment or house, but...
Your theory about Heather, I think, actually has extra weight to it now, because... Was it just me, or did Heather come off really cold towards Christy? Like, barely acknowledged her? I wonder if
In that scene, yeah, but then later on, she... I don't know.
Well, probably because she realized, oh, well, you know, this girl's actually, this woman's actually good for Matt, you know, so I'll pump the brakes a little bit, you know. But I think at that moment, she was like, competition. This bitch is competition. Get the fuck out of here. You know, just had that sort of intuitive thought, you know.
Yeah.
Because also, too, she's also thinking about Matt as wanting to be back in the band as well. So it's not just a personal thing for her. You know, the rest of her band is like a pile of shit. So, you know, she needs Matt, you know, with his killer guitar skills, which we'll see later on, mind you. This guy plays a wicked guitar solo to the worst song ever written.
I mean, he's like the Jimi Hendrix of bad songs, man. I'm done.
Yeah, so anyway, so what happens is that Heather stares daggers into Christy's eyes and walks away. And then Matt pulls up somehow again after everyone else got there. And then they're running up to the car, and then Christy sees them. So then she thinks that Matt and Heather are married because, again, body language, Heather puts a scarf around Matt's neck and then pulls him into herself.
Yeah.
Which normally is something
like all of my friends do. I mean, I do that to even my platonic male friends. I just, you know, we always, you know, every time we hang out, Matt, you know,
yeah,
I put a scarf around your neck and pull you into me. You know, it's just the thing you do.
Well, it's except for that scarf that we lost, never were ever able to find, that really cool scarf from 2005 that we made a music video with. And it's gone forever.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, I know where that scarf is, but
that scarf was so... We can find a video and find out if anyone makes a scarf like that and buy that again.
Was that Irish scarf I had?
I don't remember. I gotta have to look at the video. It's in the video of Stars.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that it's an Irish scarf that our friend Shamsi gave me. And
okay.
And I know what happened to that scarf.
Oh, you do? Okay.
It no longer exists.
What do you mean no longer exists? What happened?
It's I had a cat that died, and we had put the cat had fallen asleep on it, and it was inside the carrier when we took the cat to the vet, and yeah, we left it at the veterinarian. So so I know what happened to that scarf.
A little memento, I guess, then.
Yeah, we left it there because the cat died at the vet, and so we anywho,
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Mom and Dad, I'm dead. And
that's another band opening up for
So so she thinks that that Heather and Matt and Emily are a nice little family. Because she's stupid. I'm just gonna say it. Anyway, so
what's the weird thing though? So he said that he wanted her to meet someone.
Yeah.
But why would she just decide to leave even if he was married to Heather? Like, they went on one lunch date. It wasn't like set in stone, like they've been together for weeks. Like,
yeah, whatever. I mean, if a coworker of mine invited me to lunch and then said, I want you to meet somebody, and I get there and it's their husband or whatever, I'd be like, hey, cool. Nice dude, you know, whatever. What the
hell? Christy says she moves. That's the other thing. So Christy says she only works 2 months of the year. That lucky, I guess, but like, Jesus Christ. And like acting like, you know, she's like some like hardened, you know, steel mill worker or some shit, whatever. And then, there's this other part though. I wanted to get through because it's like the funniest part in the entire movie. It lasts for like 5 seconds, but if you pause that or you just put that in slow-mo, it's the funniest shit you'll ever see. So there's a point at the park where there's like these parents of like a 15-year-old kid who's like climbing some like jungle gym thing, and they're like, yay! The kid looks like he's like 13 years old.
The kid is literally bigger than the parents.
They're like, good job, buddy.
It's like, it seriously reminded me of, you know, the scene in Jurassic Park where the T-Rex is coming towards the people. Mm-hmm. That's what it reminded me of, because the fucking kid looked like the T-Rex.
It's like, Does someone put it in as a joke just like to make like see if anyone would catch it? Like, no.
Yeah.
Just let it stay in the movie.
They were just so proud of their 15-year-old kid who can climb a jungle gym.
There's got to be a backstory to that one, too. Like, there's so many backstories in this movie that if you just...
I'm thinking it was, like, the director's kid or something.
Yeah.
And just two random people that look nothing like they could be his parents. But anyway, so, the...
That's the weirder part. Just two random adults who are cheering on this, like... Like, yeah, good job, buddy. And all of a sudden, the police come. Like, you gotta leave here. You can't watch the kids play.
Thing is, we're just assuming it was parents. It's actually just three friends, and the guy is the same age as the parents.
Whoa. This is getting weird.
Because, you know, like, all those times, like, back when we were younger, and we used to hang out at the amusement, at the playground, and we would just, you know, cheer on our friends when they got onto the show.
Oh god, this has gotten so weird.
So, the
like somebody's on a swing set, they're like, "Yeah, go, Mike, woo!"
I remember those times; those are good. I mean, that was like last week, but it was good times. Yeah. Wait.
Of course, I think adults should have their own version of swing sets. Who really gets tired of being on a swing? No one.
It's
just that society decides that you should stop going on a swing set at a certain age. Who let them decide?
Well, I mean, I still went on to swing sets a lot when I was an adult, so whatever.
Well, I've got to buy my own and just have it in my backyard or whatever, and that's, you know.
You should invite adults over all the time just to swing.
When you mix adults and swings, that usually means something else.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're going to have a swinger party. Wait.
No, I mean, like, swings and, you know, other kinds of, you know, tools. So who knows, maybe Emily will grow up and have a shop for one of those for how fucking fast she's growing up, but, like...
Piper Harris is 21 now.
Okay, well... I'm saying, she's only 21 now. Like, it's like, come on, you need to chill out. You can, it's fine, play a video game. Don't worry about your uncle's love life. Just, you know... Do whatever, you know? It's fine. Totally fine.
So,
be a matchmaker for adults. Just chill out.
Anyways, back to the movie. We've got...
We got so like, torn away. Like 50.
So, we've got... before the... Oh, yeah, that was another thing, too. I forgot, though. She did stop off... Christy did, and she got a makeover from Sally.
Yeah, the magical black person. Yeah, that's what happened. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who exists to make the white person look beautiful or whatever.
The Bagger Vance of this film. Yes.
Yes. Yes. A very C-rated version of...
Yes, it's like it, or it's like the Charles S. Dutton character in Rudy.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Bagger Vance wasn't the first.
No. It's been since the beginning of time. I mean, you've got, you know.
True. Yeah. That's true.
Because I'm pretty sure that the actual Charles S. Dutton character in Rudy wasn't a real person. That was just made up for the movie.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Wait, when Bagger Vance, was he actually a magic being? Is that why they call it the magical black person?
I don't know. I've not seen Bagger Vance since it first came out, so.
But I'm starting to remember now if he actually existed or was just like a, like literally like a delusion of the guy or something like that. Like,
either way, he eventually became the genie in Aladdin, so it's okay.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Which is a magical black person. Genie,
yeah. Well, okay, but a genie, we'll let that one slide, because a genie's not a human being, and genies don't have a race because they're not humans.
I know, I'm just joking.
I know, but I'm just clarifying for our audience that, you know, it's not racist for Will Smith to become a genie, because...
No.
Because jinn come from, like, you know, the Middle East, and... They, you know, they're like, interesting thing about the jinn. I know this has nothing to do with the Christmas meal, but So, like, jinn are, like, pre-Islamic Arab kind of spiritual beings, and then they got incorporated in within Islam. And, like, there are, like, people who, like, practice, like, the dark arts, like, within the Muslim community, but they make it like, super, super secretive because they don't want anyone knowing about it, for obvious reasons, because most monotheistic religions don't like black magic or whatever. So, like, they'll actually like, call upon the jinn, like, just, like to have wishes granted, but, like, not like, in a literal sense where, like, a car will just, like, manifest before them or
whatever. And just so you know, black magic is different than a magical black person.
It is. Oh, very much different. Because there's white people that practice black magic.
Yeah. And
there's black people who practice, quote, white magic, which that's a whole, whatever. It's a whole other conversation. But anyway, so, like, they'll call upon the jinn, you know, to, like, grant them, like, a favor. Like, hey, I want someone to fall in love with me, or I want like, you know, some money to, you know, to kind of come my way. And they'll do, like, these little spells or whatever. So, like, genie comes from the word jinn, and that's literally an actual it's got nothing to do with what we're talking about. Like,
yes.
Very tangentially related even to what you mentioned about Will Smith becoming a genie.
But anyways... Like, Sally
makes over
Christy.
Yeah, the Jin character who's Sally.
Yeah.
She's a Jin. My version, she's a Jin. And she gets
She might drink gin too, for all we know.
What's that?
She might drink gin for all we know too. She might drink
gin, and then she is a Jin. Or here's a head scratcher right here. What if Christy is also a djinn herself, but forgot she's a djinn.
Ooh.
Sally gives her a makeover as like kind of like how Agatha in WandaVision was trying to sort of coax Wanda to like remember who she was. Maybe Sally giving her the makeover is like her subtle way of like, remember, you're a djinn, like we're sisters, we're djinn, like remember who you are type thing. Like someone put a spell on you to make you forget who you are. It's probably that creepy...
And then after that, they played Gin Rummy together.
Yes. Yes.
So.
Oh, anyway, this is fun.
She, Sally, made over Christy. And, that might have taken, that took a little time, but she still got to the fucking park before.
Yeah, wait, that's right. She had a makeover and still somehow managed to... Oh, yeah. My God. Granted, the makeover was like your typical, you take off the glasses, and you let the hair down, and suddenly they're the hottest person ever.
Yeah, it's the she's all that makeover.
Or the he's all that, because it did the same thing for that as well.
Yeah.
But he just cut his hip a little bit. That was it.
Yeah, they unbuttoned her shirt and stuff, but then she wore a jacket which covered up the freaking...
It's like, what? And by you too, so this movie takes place in California, and everyone's wearing winter clothing. Like, it never gets that cold in California.
No.
Even Christmas time.
Yeah, it's like 68 degrees in California around that time of year.
Right.
I mean, I know it might be cold to them, but I don't think it's cold enough that you're wearing fucking gloves, because that's the other thing.
Right.
Emily left one of her gloves after she fed a bird.
Oh, that's right. the bird. Yeah, the bird seed.
The magical bird.
Oh, God.
So, anyways, we eventually... He explains things to her. She realizes that, no, that's just his friend who has weird boundaries named Heather. And and his niece, Emily. And then the really smart person she is realizes Emily Sanders.
I know. It took her so much time to put those things together. Like, he's literally saying, my niece, Emily, and she's like, wait, wow, she wrote a letter to Santa saying my Uncle Matt needs to be Matt, and it's like, oh my God.
No, you must be that Matt. Like, what the fuck?
It's like, your name is Matt, and you are raising your niece. I'm like, oh my God. Like you're right. She does act like a child. Emily's more mature than she is.
Yeah.
Intellectually.
So anyways, she goes over for a dinner. He invites her over for dinner. She comes over. And I guess their dinner first consisted of making cookies.
Yeah, that's dinner for you.
Yeah, well, I mean, they ended up having real dinner afterwards on a tea set table. One of the weirdest fucking scenes in a movie ever. Anyway, so
Christy wants to eat dinner, and that's the other thing, too.
Yeah.
So I think she might be like almost like a
child. Like that's what I'm saying. She's a lot like the elf character in Elf. Anyway, so
they probably use that as like their temple or something. Yeah.
So first they have a sprinkle fight when they're making cookies.
Oh God, that scene was terrible.
Using digital sprinkles.
Is that why it looks so weird?
Yes.
I was wondering what
they were not real.
Why would you even need to do
exactly
that? That makes no sense. Like, hey, we're going to make this harder for you in post by making you edit digital sprinkles instead of just buying like a $2 bottle. You know what? Somebody had to have like sensory issues and didn't want to have sprinkles on.
That's what I'm wondering. It's like, did one of the actors not want sprinkles on their head?
That has to be it. That's no other reason for that.
There was a clause in their contract that said no sprinkles on my head.
That's like a very bizarrely weird contract. So like, yes. I wonder what brought that on, like for someone to write that, like, I'll do anything, but no sprinkles on head. They're like, oh, okay.
Well, you see, back when Vanessa Evigan was a child, her father, Greg Evigan, one time, had a sprinkle stuck up his nose and he had to be rushed to the hospital. And,
that was really it was distraught for her. Yeah.
Yes.
But now she can't have sprinkles anymore.
No.
On anything. Not on food, cookies, candy.
Nope.
Nothing.
No sprinkles.
Nope. That's another band-aid.
And that's right the other thing. They weren't even fucking sprinkles, by the way. They were calling them sprinkles, but that's actually colored sugar.
So that's what it was. Okay.
Yeah.
So digital colored sugar.
Yeah. Because sprinkles are bigger. I'm just saying, you know, sprinkles or jimmies or whatever you want to call them are bigger. They're not. Okay, so
why does this movie exist? Like, I mean, really, why?
I'm getting into the minutia of dessert toppings, and never thought I'd do that in my life.
Hey, it's good stuff to know. Apparently, it is good to know because this movie lies to you on so many occasions.
She sees her. She sees Emily's bedroom. Decides, hey, let's go have dinner at this little fucking kids table where you have tea parties. And so you've got three adults and a child sitting at a really small table having dinner where everybody seems to be flirting with each other.
I know. Oh my God. So like, I'm kidding you not, like, I am so pissed at this Matt character so much. So, like, he could have, like, I'm not trying to be crude, but he could have had both of them, to be honest. And then, says no again. Matt's a Catholic priest. That's going to be part two. He's going to renounce. He's going to become celibate. So, the entire first movie is just gone. Like, the plot was useless.
Christy's going to adopt Emily. And, Christy will adopt Emily.
What's that say?
Christy will adopt Emily.
Oh. Yeah, she'll adopt, so then she'll take her to the North Pole or whatever she lives for the rest of the year.
And she'll become the new Santa Let writer.
The Matt's going to become a Catholic priest because no matter how many opportunities he has to have a consensual life experience that is human, that is perfect, that is beautiful, he doesn't want it. He's like, I'm gonna spit in God's eye and say, I don't want that which is beautiful, that which is pure, that which is human. I am not human. I hate you. That's what Matt says. Yeah, he's gonna become a priest. Wait, what? That makes no sense. Anyway,
so anywho.
By the way, he turned down a potential threesome. So then again, it was weird because Emily's in the house.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think you're going to want to have that with the child in the house.
That could have been, I'll grant that. I'll grant that to him.
Okay. So, that's possible. Yeah, I wasn't going to bring that up, but yeah.
yeah, like I said, I'll grant that. That's a good point. It's his excuse. It's not his reason, but it's his excuse. It's fine. Okay.
So he finds out. I mean, Christy finds out eventually because of Fucker Fuller that he was like hired to spy on Matt was hired to spy on her. She's basically let go because he decides to throw all of the Santa letters in the trash, basically.
God, that guy is such
because
a
they're clogging up the works or something. I don't know what the fuck. If that's the case,
the envelopes are too big or something.
Yeah, if that's the case, you need to stop the whole postal service because not every letter's perfect.
Yeah, all the same size. Idiot. Oh, dude, we forgot the perfect song ever written.
Oh yeah, during their dinner thing. Yeah, the song where you can't hear any of the lyrics. And then I put on closed captioning, and the lyrics were horrible anyways.
Oh my god, were they?
I don't remember what they said. They didn't even fucking rhyme. They were just bad.
Well, that, and also, they weren't even, like, on the right rhythm. Again, this is supposed to be a professional touring musician, okay? This is not some karaoke fly-by-night.
And he wasn't really playing the guitar, too, so...
Well, he was playing the guitar, but Heather was not singing on beat. She's supposed to be a professional singer.
See, I'm trying to figure out, is she the lead singer of this band, or is she just their spiritual advisor? I'm still confused.
Well, she's in the band. Yes, well, she's spiritual advisor, and she's in the band. Okay. And then I think she might be the one singing, because she was the one telling them to do vocal warm-ups. So yeah. I don't know, but I would assume...
That
she would have won be singing.
But anyways, I don't think he was actually playing the guitar, though, because it didn't seem like his movements were right.
No, the guitar solo was killer, so extreme that he doesn't even have to play the correct frets and at the correct time.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just like, he's beyond time and space here. Like,
I thought maybe it was one of those, you know, they have like player pianos, maybe it was a player guitar. Anyways, what else happens here, Matt?
Mr. Fuller plays the tape of him saying, "I don't have feelings for Christy North." So, like, that was, like, his sort of collateral
just
in case Matt decided to go back on his end of the deal, which really wasn't a deal because he was threatened to be fired if he didn't accept the job. So it's not really a bargain. He predictably, you know, ruins a potential relationship because if he can't be happy, then nobody can. So, and we can add narcissism as a potential mental health disorder.
Oh, yeah, he's definitely a narcissist. And, yeah. But then
we got paranoid delusions and, yeah.
But then basically, to wrap things up in this movie, somehow the Postmaster General. For God knows what reason, decides to promote Matt and demote Fuller.
Well, it's because Sally wrote an email and then somehow he got it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the Postmaster General is like just checking his email like, oh, we'll see what some rando from California sent me.
Yeah.
You know.
Because he doesn't have anything better to do. And, Yep. And so he gets promoted, but he decides to give the job to Sally. Christy is kind of left town. At least that's what they think. Sally puts out an APB through the postal system somehow to find.
I know.
To find Christy, and then some random old mailman finds her. And it's like, get in my car. No, I'm joking.
How creepy if some rando just shows up. It's like,
So he kidnaps her, and
just a dark version of the movie. Yeah. Kidnaps
her, and then takes her, and then Sally and her try to go find Matt because he's decided to go on tour now with Heather, and take Emily with him. And yep. And so they chase after him in their. In a mail car that Sally is driving, but when you cut away to the wide shots, it's obviously a man driving.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I didn't.
Yeah, notice that. The wide shots, you can tell it is not. It's not Rolanda Watts driving at all. So,
okay. So I stole a mail carrier. So that's a felony right there. Yeah. I think so.
But she's the new boss, so Sally can get away with it, I guess.
That's true, yeah. She's got company perks, so...
My thing is, does Sally not have a regular car? Does...
Yeah, what the hell is... Anyway, whatever.
Yeah. So they catch up with him. And, They basically say, hey, let's, I'll go on tour together. And she calls her dad or something and says that she's not going to be able to come home for Christmas. And we hear a ho, ho, ho on the phone. Mm-hmm. So we realize her dad is Santa.
Yeah, she winks at Emily, too, after that
happens. Yeah.
But before that, though, that was after the fact that they intentionally almost caused a car accident that could have endangered Emily's life because she was in the backseat. Mind you, Emily's parents died in a quote accident. We don't know what, but probably a car accident.
Yeah, that's what I'm assuming. So, usually when you say accident, that's what people mean.
Trigger a type of trauma for a child who's about to go on tour with a rock band. That's already going to be a somewhat jarring experience for her. Exciting, sure. But, it's going to be a little bit, anxiety ridden, just because of, the change. So let's begin it. Let's begin it with a car accident.
Yep.
Sure. Yep. Fuck you. Sally and Christy and
so do you want to take a break now, Matt, and then we'll talk about some reviews really quick, a couple of reviews or so before we wrap things up.
Sure, but I'll say it's the way that Matt ends the entire movie with this little laugh and goes, "What?"
Yeah. All right, we'll be right back, folks.
What is Gen X? What is the silent generation? What do generations have in common? Hi, I'm Trish the Dish from the Gen X Voice podcast, and I invite you to listen to conversations I have with folks from different generations, backgrounds, beliefs, and experiences in an attempt to see what connects rather than divides us. Even though Gen X has been called slackers, Karens, or not mentioned at all in some cases, we are the bridge generation, so I feel compelled to do my part to destroy ageism by bringing all these voices together. And as a bonus, each guest gets to answer some 80s questions at the end of each show. So download and listen to Gen X Voice today on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And let's see how much we have in common after all.
Hi, this is Catherine, host of a new fashion podcast, The Real Fashion School Dropout. Join me as I interview guests every week in the fashion and beauty space, and we gossip on all things fashion and beauty and even get into some personal stories of their journey in the industry. You can find us on Apple, Spotify, pretty much wherever you get your podcast. Hope to see you there.
Okay, and we are back. So, do you want to hear some reviews here from the Internet Movie Database, Matt?
Sure.
Okay, so first one I see here is a 4 out of 10.
Okay.
The headline for this one is Just About Delivers. Get it?
Yeah, I get it.
And so this is from Prismark 10, December 8th of 2017. Matt is a postman and takes care of his niece. He has a demanding route for his postal deliveries, but things brighten up when he meets bubbly Christy, sent on a special assignment as a Santa writer whose job is to respond to letters addressed to the North Pole. Christy is natural at replying to these letters, but the local post office boss is far from happy about Christy and thinks Christy blah blah blah. They're just basically running down the plot of the movie. And then, anyways, this is their review part of it. This is an amiable film, rather light on plot, and the acting is a bit hammy. The leads are likable enough, and it is hinted that Christy might be Santa's daughter. Might be? Hinted? Okay, whatever. And really is from the North Pole. The climax is rather flat, though, but it makes for pleasant, undemanding viewing.
Yeah, that's right. Undemanding is a great word.
Yes. Okay, this is a 8 out of 10, Matt. Written by sober friend.
Oh my god, okay.
On February 26th of 2018. Fun family film. So IMDb has this scored very low. I think most users must think this was going to be a massive CGI infested Christmas movie.
What?
And it says, if you want that, then stick to Black Panther. You know my and the Avengers. You know my favorite Christmas movies.
Wait, what? Yeah, Black Panther's a Christmas movie. What the hell?
This film is heavy on story and emotions. It's not perfect. But it delivers a family safe film that adults will also enjoy. I don't think kids would enjoy this either. But anyways,
family. Okay, it's called Sober Friend. I already know this person's story. Used to be hardcore in the drugs and partying, then they became religious, and then. Now they're like trying to lead like the clean life, but they don't know what's good, so they just assume like this is my life now. I have to watch these shitty movies and pretend that I like them. I love being sober. Being sober is really fun. That's what really gets you high, is being sober. I don't want anything to drink right now. I don't want anything to drink right now. I don't want anything to drink right now.
So you know what I do every Christmas, Matt?
What?
I cozy up with my Well, I don't have anybody to cozy up with, but I sit there on my couch next to my fireplace I don't have, and I roast some chestnuts, even though I've never had a chestnut in my fucking life. But anyways, I sit there, you know. Dressed in my footy pajamas. And watch my favorite Christmas movie. Black Panther.
Yep.
The fuck?
I don't know. The Avengers as well. The Avengers.
It's a double bill every year for me. The Avengers and Black Panther.
I mean, what the hell?
You know, everybody's favorite Christmas movies are, you know, A Christmas Story, well, and
you could almost say that like Thanos is like a reverse Santa, where he just like takes away 50% of everything.
You know, we watch It's a Wonderful Life, and then we follow it up with Black Panther.
What the fuck? Yes. Oh my god, we got Home Alone, and then we've got shit. What reminds with Alone? Damn it. whatever.
Oh my god. So, I think that's all I'm going to read as far as reviews go. Nothing will top that one.
I don't think it will.
Yeah. At the end of it, though, he or she says, if you are a parent, trust me, watch this with with your Santa-believing children, create a nice memory.
Your Santa This person writes weird.
Like, I know.
What does that mean, you Santa-believing children? Like, is it like a religious thing, though? Like, I believe it's Santa. Like I mean, what the hell?
Do you know who believed in Santa, though?
What's that?
Do you know who believed in Santa?
Who?
The Black Panther.
Yeah, the Black Panther. So Santa Claus was actually supposed to be in the Black Panther movie, but then they wrote him out at the last minute for budgetary reasons.
He was actually supposed to be the Black Panther.
Yeah, that's some crazy cultural appropriation right there. But, some white guy from the North Pole just suddenly becomes...
Well, you're just assuming that Santa's white.
Well, I would think it's a pretty safe assumption, considering, you know, where the stories originate from. I mean, it's possible. Don't get me wrong. People have traveled all throughout the globe and ships and sails. It's totally possible there was, like, one black dude or, like, an Arab guy who lived in the North Pole, and he's like, you know what? I got to start giving people some presents. I'm getting bored with this shit, you know? Mm-hmm. And then just got the magic sleigh, gin right there. And then, you know, the gin-powered sleigh, maybe. So maybe Santa Claus is actually Arabic and or North African in general, that, you know, general region of the world. And the sleigh is actually not powered by reindeer. See, that was an illusion. It was the reindeer don't exist. It's like an optical illusion. Powered by the djinn. So,
you remember that old Christmas carol we used to sing?
Which one?
The up on the rooftop, click, 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 down through the chimney with old T'Challa.
Yeah, with old T'Challa. That's like, yep.
Oh, the good times when we were kids and we used to sing that.
Now I'm just actually picturing Black Panther, like, sliding down the chimney. Actually, that makes a lot more sense. He's a lot more agile than Saint Nick. I mean, he's supposed to be kind of, you know, that'd be
maybe
hard.
Maybe we missed that scene where, you know, after he fought Michael B. Jordan's character and went off and delivered all the toys to the boys and girls across the world.
Yeah, it was a really busy day for him. I mean, you know, and that's why they need to wrap it up. They're like, okay, like, I need to deliver these presents. I gotta kill Killmonger, or I'm not gonna have time, you know?
Old Saint T'Challa.
Is Endgame a Christmas film? I mean, what the fuck? Is WandaVision a Christmas show? Loki, Falcon, Winter Soldier,
the upcoming Hawkeye is actually Christmas based, but
so that counts as a Christmas show.
I think Iron Man 3 took place during Christmas time, but that's about it in the whole Marvel universe. So
apparently that's a Christmas film now, is Iron Man 3. So to be fair, Iron Man suit's red, so you know. I guess that, you know, could sort of be a Santa-esque, what other Avengers, whatever, Captain America?
Well, you know what it is, Matt. It's a Mischetti.
Mischetti, yeah. But Captain America, Winter Soldier, winter, so, you know.
Yeah, that makes sense. Maybe the Winter Soldier is actually Santa Claus.
Yeah, and Captain America Civil War... Apparently, there's a myth that during the Civil War, they actually took a break between fighting during Christmas. So maybe that's a Christmas film, Civil War, you know? So, yep.
So, anyway, anything else, Matt, before we wrap things up here?
Let's see. Let me peruse my paper, my thesis I wrote here. See, narcissist, paranoid delusions, irritable jump. Okay, no. Parents of a 15-year-old kid are happy climb the weird jungle gym toy. Matt has a weird little laugh, just like the real Matt right here. Indoor picnic, Heather's body language, potential five sum that he turns down. Yeah, I think we're good.
Covered everything, Matt?
Yep.
Well, okay, folks, until next time, be sure to go on our website. It's all2real2.com. You can look up all of our links there. Give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcast. Share the show with your friends. That's a good way to, you know, get people to listen to us. You know, give them a Christmas present that T'Challa didn't give them this year, and give them the gift of All Too Real Too, and
laughter
and yeah. Laughter. You know, wear a mask. Be safe. Don't do anything stupid. You know, and make sure you're a good boy or girl, or T'Challa won't give you what you want this year. And wear a condom, especially if you're going to have a fivesome with some old ladies. And
they weren't that old.
I know. But until next time, folks. 'Tis the season. Merry Christmas. Be good for T'Challa. And bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to All Too Real 2 Podcast, a Cullen Park production. Produced and edited by Michael E. Cullen II. Music by Matthew Hawes. Subscribe and share the show. Visit us at cullenpark.com.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Joey Galvez. I want to tell you guys a little bit about the Department of MetaHuman Affairs. This one is a story about a team led by a retired sidekick, two felons, a failed actor from Broadway, and a reprogrammed cyborg. But their first mission is to stop the criminals who have robbed a bank, and they will have to set the world at ease. You're going to get 180 pages of entertainment, action-packed awesomeness right here in the first 6 issues in a collected hardcover volume 1. All you gotta do is head on over to kickstarter.com and type in the Department of MetaHuman Affairs or DMA and check it out right now.